Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the global broadcast of the Church of Christ, broadcast tonight with the title Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We want to welcome everyone to this call, especially those who are not members of the one true church, the Church of Christ, the only church that is written in your Bible. As we're listening in tonight, it sounds like somebody is live on the call and they have some background noise. If you will, we'd like to encourage you, for the courtesy of others, to turn your radio or television or whatever it is, turn that down so that it's not distracting in the broadcast tonight. All right, thank you. This is Brother Williams, co-minister of the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. And we come to you tonight with the truth, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. All we have to offer is the truth, the whole truth, the naked truth, and nothing but the truth. But tonight we want to talk about, as always, the one true church, the gospel of salvation that Jesus Christ has provided and has given to mankind by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, who had holy men to write the revelation of God's will for our eternal salvation. If you're listening in tonight, we want you to know that you have an opportunity to ask questions. If you have any questions about what we are teaching or what we have taught, we are interested in Bible questions. Our forum is only concerned about questions of morality and questions of religious faith and salvation. We are not a political forum, and so we're not concerned or we're planning to answer questions about politics. But if you have a Bible question and you would like to ask it tonight, we encourage you to do so. We know this, that if you ask us a Bible question, we will definitely give you a Bible answer. I want to give some respect and props to others of our faithful ministers who are a part of this radio broadcast. I want to mention Brother James Johnson, who has been ill and is currently under doctor's orders. And we want you to continue to pray with me for him and for Brother Lewis Parker Jr., who is also one of our faithful ministers. Brother Johnson is my co-minister at the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. And Brother Parker is the minister of the Church of Christ in Dickinson, Texas, USA. His son, Brother Lewis Parker IV, is the minister of the Sugarland Church of Christ on Voss Road in Sugarland, Texas, USA. And we look forward to having him be a host on this program as the opportunity affords itself. We also have another faithful minister who helps us in hosting this program, and that's Brother Don Kegler, the minister of the AD 33 Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA. Our moderator for the program each night is Brother Brian Brown, faithful member of the West Ward Street Church of Christ in Texas City, Texas, USA. And we just want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that we are very glad and very happy to bring this broadcast program to you. Jesus, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, commanded his faithful disciples and apostles to go into all the world and to declare and preach the gospel of salvation to every man, every person, every nation on earth. And the apostles in their lifetime, they preached the gospel to as many nations as they could reach, from Western Europe over to China and even down to the northern part of Africa and as far north as what is modern-day Russia and the Soviet bloc. The gospel was preached. Congregations of the Church of Christ were established in the world. We, in this day and age, with the technology that we have, we're able to broadcast around the world by radio waves and also by internet. And this program is being broadcast to nations around the world, to every nation, through the internet and through the radio broadcast in this ministry. So we are glad to be able to use this technology that man has developed over the thousands of years since Jesus Christ gave those marching orders to his church. And so we are fulfilling and we are giving honor and devotion to that goal that Christ said, preach the gospel, preach the word, and preach it to every nation, ethnicity, and race all over the world, because the gospel is intended for all souls. Only the gospel can save you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul to write to the Church of Christ in Rome about 67 A.D. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Ladies and gentlemen, believeth simply means to believe and obey. Okay? It means to believe and obey. It is the classic definition of faith that is discussed in the Bible. It's not a faith that believes only, but a faith that believes and responds to that faith or to that belief by obedience to what is believed. You believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you will obey his commandment. He commands baptism as the answer of a pure conscience for God for salvation. Brother Williams, where do you get that expression from? When we read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible tells us that in the same way that God saved faithful Noah and his family from destruction and from the condemnation of sin when he brought the flood into the world, they were saved in the ark. We might say the ark of safety. God saves man today. And the ark of safety is the church of Jesus Christ. And we are saved by baptism. Baptism doth also now save us. Save what? Save our souls. Not our flesh and blood bodies, but our soul. Our soul is baptized. Our soul goes through a transformation. Our soul is brought from spiritual death to spiritual life as the power of God provides in baptism. In First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, for by one Holy Spirit are we all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink, to receive from that one Holy Spirit. That one Holy Spirit is God. John 4:24, God is spirit. God is one spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is one. There are not three gods. There's only one God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 teaches us that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. One what? One God. And God is one Spirit. That's the unity and the unique characteristic of God. So when we speak of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we merely refer to the three revealed personalities of the one true God, who is our Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, we learn that Jesus Christ is the living God and is the Savior of all souls that obey him. Go and read and study that for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, and understand that we're talking about the one true church. The Church of Christ is not a building made by men's hand, built of brick and wood and mortar and concrete, but rather it is a spiritual building, a spiritual house built by God. It is comprised of all of the souls which God has saved and who are standing on the foundation of truth. Who is truth? What is truth? John 17:17, Jesus declares in praying, he said, "Sanctify my disciples through thy truth. Thy word," the word of God, "is truth." Truth is the word of God. That's the foundation of the church. And Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He is the way from earth to glory. He is the founder, and he established the way when he died on the cross and became the sacrifice of man's sin, became the mediator between man and God. He established the way. He is the truth. He is the living Word, John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word of God is God, and God is the Word, and God is Spirit. So the Word of God is Spirit and eternal life. It is not a dead letter printed on a page, but rather it is Spirit and eternal life. The letter on the page is the written revelation of the Holy God, the one true God, and his will for man's salvation. That's why it is called the Holy Bible. It comes from the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Latin. It's the Holy Writ. That is, it is a written document, Biblos, which means book, not just any book, though. It is a book of instruction, and it is God's instruction. It is a holy book, and there's no other book ever printed on earth like it. It is not a novel to be read casually or to be read for pleasure and personal enjoyment, but rather it is a book of instruction, more like a textbook that we read when we're going to school and we're learning and getting education. It's something that we get instruction from, instructions on how to live in order to make heaven our eternal home. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening in on this call tonight and you have a comment or you have a question about your faith, or about the salvation of God, or you want to know why we, as ministers of the Church of Christ, teach that there is no other church that is belongs to Christ where you can find salvation for your soul, Yes, we teach that because that's what the Bible teaches. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 8. Christ gives eternal life to all who obey him. So he is the author, eternal life, and salvation. He is the God of eternal salvation. And so salvation is only to be found in Christ. And the only way one can get into Christ, the only way your soul can get into Christ, is you must be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, we are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You got to be baptized into Christ spiritually. Your soul must be baptized into Christ. There's no other way that one can get into Christ. Baptism is an act of obedience to faith in Christ. Christ commanded it, he ordained it, and he appointed his disciples to practice it and to save men's soul by baptizing them into his spiritual body. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, for the remission of their sins. The remission of sins is about the removal of the past sins of our life, so that we are created or again as a brand new creature, a brand new saved soul. So remission of sins is a purpose for baptism. Jesus said, if you do this, I will be with you for till the end of the world. We have to do God's will and obey his commandment to teach men how to be saved until Jesus returns and redeems his spiritual church out of this ungodly world. Again, the church is the spiritual church of Jesus Christ because it is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And Christ is the head of his church, not the pastor, not the pope, not the priest, but Jesus himself is the spiritual head of his spiritual church, which is his body. Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 1:22 and 23. So we're here tonight to encourage all of those who have not to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be born again, according to John chapter 1, chapter 3, rather, verses 1 through 7. Be born again, born of the water and the Spirit, that is, water baptism by faith in Jesus Christ, so that we might be the spiritual sons and daughters, the spiritual family of God, the children of God. We are baptized through faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Faith is belief and obedience to the will, the commandment, and the instruction of God's word. The Bible is the word of God. The word of God has produced the obedience to God, and the church is the result of those who have obeyed God and been saved by his grace. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we learn that the Lord himself adds all of the saved to his church. Whose church? Christ's church. The church that belongs to Christ. And that church is also spiritual wife of Christ. Therefore, it wears the name of Christ. The wife Where's the husband's name? That's a part of honoring the husband as her head and her husband. The Church of Christ is the spiritual wife of Christ by no other name. She is not called the Catholic Church. She is not named the Baptist Church. She is not named the Jehovah's Witness Church. She is not named the Lutheran Church. She is not named the Presbyterian or the Episcopalian or the Seventh-day Adventist or the Christian Scientist or the Mormon Church. She is not named the Church of God in Christ. She is named the Church of Christ. Who gave her that name? Christ. The wife gets her name from her husband. The church gets its name from her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 27. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even so Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the wife is subject to her husband, therefore as the church is subject to Christ, let the wife be subject to her husband in everything. The Church of Christ is subject to her husband, Jesus Christ. She wears his name and honors him as her husband. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, the Holy Spirit, by the hand of the Apostle Paul, wrote and spoke to the Church of Christ in Rome and said that because you are members of the body of Christ, you have become married to another. When did we get married? When we were baptized into Christ and born again as new creatures in Christ and came forth from the water of baptism to walk in a new eternal life. That was also when we got married to our husband Christ. He says, you are dead to the law. What law? The law of sin and death, the law that reigned over the soul of man from Adam to Christ. If you sin, you die. Spiritually, we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins when before Christ came and died for our sins. That's according to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Before Christ died, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But God demonstrated his love in that while we were still sinners, lost and condemned in sin, he sent Christ to die and to take away the condemnation for our sin. And when we obey the gospel of Christ, God's power to save every soul that believes and obeys, when we obey the gospel of Christ, we are no longer subject to the eternal condemnation for our sins. What is that eternal condemnation? It is hell. It is eternal hell. And unless soul will not escape the condemnation of eternal hell, because all have sinned and come short of the grace and the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, yes. You want eternal life? You got to obey Christ. You got to obey God's commandment. Christ is God and our Savior. He is the only true God, the only most powerful God. He is the Almighty God, the King of kings, Lord of lords. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7 through 10. He is the only potentate, Potentate means all powerful, all mighty. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is the true, the one true God. And he only built one spiritual family or church. And he adds all of those souls that are saved to his one church. Oh, the pastor don't add you to the church. The preacher doesn't put you in the church. The Pope puts you in the church. Christ adds you to the church, just like a father adds offspring to his family. We are begotten by Christ. He is the Word. And James chapter 1 and verse 18 declares that we are begotten by the power of his Word, that we might be a first fruit of creature to him, that we might be his newborn children, newborn in eternal life, spiritual faith, and devotion. And then we have a requirement. Having been born again, we are required of God to remain faithful and devoted to the righteous will of God. Revelation 2 and 10, Jesus Christ sent this letter to the churches of Christ saying, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the reward, the crown of eternal life. Every athlete in their profession and sport, whether they are race car drivers or they are runners or they are swimmers or they are skiers or they are gymnastics or whatever, every athlete that wins is given the crown of being a winner. He is crowned with a reward, with a symbol of his success. We have a spiritual crown to look forward to in God if we remain faithful and obedient to God unto death. That is, until we die, and even if it kills us, we have to remain faithful in order to receive that crown of reward. The crown is there. Is there for all who desire. Every one of us can be winners with God. It's up to you and I. It's up to you and I to accept the truth and to be faithful to it. But we can all be winners in Christ. That's the love of God. That's the unconditional love of God. Is that based on what race you were born in? Whether you were born rich or poor in this world? Whether you are educated or uneducated, it has nothing to do with that. All it has to do with whether you believe and follow the will and the instructions and the commandments of God without fail. Ladies and gentlemen, if you fail, you will go to hell. You do not want to fail. You want to succeed. You want to be faithful. You want to obey. You want to live for Christ. And as we live for Christ, we live with the confidence that we have the salvation of God, but we also live because we have a purpose in Christ, and that is to be a spiritual influence for Christ on our fellow man. That's how we have to love our fellow man. We have to love each other. Not just the family of Christ, loving one another, but we have to love the souls of those who are lost. Therefore, we have the inspiration, we have the moral encouragement, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel that saves. The gospel of Baptists does not save. The gospel of Lakewood Church does not save. The gospel of Powderhouse Church does not save. The gospel of Catholic does not save. The gospel of Methodist does not save. The gospel of Lutheran does not provide eternal salvation. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no other. There is salvation in no other name. There is salvation by no other authority. There is salvation by no other power. Chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. In the English language, the word must is a word that means that there is no other alternative. It is unconditional. There is no other way one can be saved except by the authority, commandment, and the grace of Jesus Christ. He is God, our Savior. Jesus saves. He is the only one that saves. The church don't save you. Christ saves you in his church. You are the saved when you are part of the church. When you are saved by Christ, then you are part of the church that is saved. That's the church that Jesus will come and take back to heaven when he comes in the last day, the day of judgment, the day of the final reckoning of all souls to God. Either we're going to be righteous or we're going to be unrighteous. Either we're going to be just or justified or we're going to be unjustified. We have to decide while we live. After death, it's too late. Hebrews 9 and 27. It declares that it is appointed to men to die once. And after this, the judgment. If you die in sin, you face judgment. Judgment is punishment. The judgment day is the day of eternal punishment. Punishment for who? The saved? No. Punishment for the disobedient and the ungodly. The saved are saved. They don't face punishment and eternal condemnation. The saved have been redeemed from the damnation of eternal condemnation, having been saved through obedience to Jesus Christ and his gospel. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1 and continuing through verse 2, declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to the souls of men who are in Christ, who have been saved through baptism by faith and obedience to the gospel will of Christ. There's no condemnation. If we walk in the Spirit, see, the condemnation is when we fail to be faithful in obedience to the Spirit's direction. What is the Spirit's direction? The written word of God. God wrote it so that it might remain and give and be accessible to every generation of man. It has been translated into over 1,500 languages of men on the earth today, so that there is no nation and no person who has any excuse not to know. If you don't know, you're going to be punished. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Man has developed that moral principle in his civil law today. Somebody might say, well, you know, officer, the stop sign, the officer says, well, that's a little bit too bad because the stop sign is there. You just weren't paying attention. There are a lot of people today who are not paying attention to the word of God, and therefore they don't see it. They don't know it. They say, I didn't know any better. It's because you didn't pay attention, because it's here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, has appeared to all mankind. The word of God is in the earth, on earth, and is with man, and every man has access to it. None of us have an excuse. The Bible is right. Now, if that's not true, then we're saying the Bible is a lie. But the blasphemy of making God's word a lie is a very, very disastrous thing for your soul. You are condemned to hell if you do it. Don't do that. Don't call God a lie. Call the lies that you've been taught about God's word, God's will, God's church, God's doctrine, God's gospel, and God's commandment, let that be the lie. Let the man who taught you the lie be the lie. But God is truth. God is eternal truth. God is absolute truth. Your soul must be founded in salvation upon the truth. Jesus says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Nothing else can make one free from the condemnation of hell but the truth. So, you must believe the truth. That's all Brother Williams will tell you or teach you, is the word of God that is true. Now, I'm wondering if there's any persons tonight, especially those who are not members of the spiritual church of Christ, who have not received the pardoning from their sins through the obedience of faith to the gospel of Christ. I want to know if anyone has a question about their eternal life and salvation tonight. If anyone has a question about what Brother Williams is teaching tonight, let me say this. I have a disclaimer. What I preach and teach to you is not my will, nor is it my word. The Bible was delivered to the church. The Bible was written by the holy prophets of God long before Brother Williams was born. I've only been in this world 60-something years, and the Bible is over 9,000, 10,000 years old. So I didn't write it. I'm not the author of it. I didn't make any of this stuff up. I'm not that smart. What I tell you is the word of God, the word of truth, and it makes all the sense in the world. It is not foreign. It is not hard to understand. It is pure. It is plain. And any man and every man is able to understand what God's will is. I will say this about God. He'll not give us a word of instruction, a book of instruction, a will to obey that we cannot understand and obey. God doesn't do that. He is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 34. See, God is not that kind of God. Now, the lies and religious philosophies and doctrines of men, they are confusing. Because one say you have to be baptized, and another say you don't. And one say that you have to pray to get saved, and another says you don't. And then there's some that say that baptism ain't got nothing to do with it. And then there's some that say that God already decided who's saved. And if God didn't decide you could be saved, you ain't going to be saved no way. Even if you obey the gospel, God didn't declare that you are going to be saved. You can't be saved. They preach a doctrine of predestination that is not God's will. it's not in God's word. Oh, they took the word out of God's word, but they taught the wrong philosophy. They are teaching lies. God has only predetermined how one can be saved, and that is by obedience to the gospel. But God hadn't decided that I'm going to be saved and you are not. That's our decision. We have to decide to accept the salvation of God for our own soul salvation. If I reject it, I won't be saved. If I accept it and obey it, I will be saved. That's God's promise. It's for any and all who will to come. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. That's what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, teaches us in the Bible. So no man can decide who is or who is not. Only God decides that. And that decision is finalized when we leave this world. Whether we leave through physical death or we leave being alive when Jesus comes back, we be translated and leave. Either way, when we leave this present world, our fate is sealed. If we're unrighteous, we will be unrighteous. If we are righteous, we will be righteous. If we are unjustified, we'll be unjustified. If we are justified, then we'll be justified. That's the will of God, and that's the word of God. And prayer won't change it after death. No one can pray you out of hell. That's a doctrine that is taught in the Roman Catholic Church today. Many people are believing the false doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. 1.2 billion citizens of the world are believing those kind of lies. The Catholic Church, that's how many they got right now, and that's been going on for generations. And they may be gaining more because many are believing the false doctrine. But the truth is, there's no salvation in the doctrine of Catholics. There's no salvation in the Catholic Church. And you can see the devil's influence every day on TV, because we're finding out that these men who are supposed to be so much holier than thou are decrepit. They are immoral. Many of them are taking advantage of the prestige and the honor and devotion that others have given them to use those very same persons and to take advantage of them because of their devotion. God is not that way. Christ will not take advantage of you. Christ is not a user. Christ is the Savior. But that's the influence and the doctrine and the presence of Satan in all this evil, deceit, and abuse. Satan is trying to kill your soul. And if you're already dead in sin, Satan want to keep you there. He want to keep you dead in sin. You got to make up your mind. You have to obey God from the heart of the mind. You can't obey God from your hand. God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he is the creator and maker of all things. He is our creator. He has created this world and everything that therein is. God created it. And he created it out of nothing that was before. So God don't need the will be worshipped with men's hands or with men's philosophy. God wants us to worship him through faith according to his word. The word of God is written, as Jesus said to Satan in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
It is written.
The word of God is written, ladies and gentlemen. Faithful brethren, it's written. We have it in written form. We can read it. We can learn it. We can teach it. We can live it. Because it is written. But know this. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, the word of God says, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And this is the second death. The second death is eternal condemnation in hell. That's the second death. You don't want to be a part of the second death. So in order to be a part of the second, the miss being a part of the second death, you must be a part of the first resurrection from the dead. What is the first resurrection from the dead, Brother Williams? What are you talking about? I'm talking about obedience to the gospel by faith, being baptized into Christ, being raised from the spiritual dead to eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. For we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that just like Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also are raised from the spiritual dead to walk in a new and eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the Holy Writ, the Bible. You will be cast into hell. If your name is not there, you'll be cast into hell. But wait a minute, Brother Williams. You mean if my name is James, and James is all over the Bible? No, no, no. He's not talking about your human name. He's talking about your spiritual name. The only spiritual name that you should wear is the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth those that are his. That everyone that wears the name of Christ depart from sin and iniquity. You got to repent of sin, and you got to live free from sin by living under the grace of God in faithful obedience to his gospel and doctrine. And if any man come to you and don't bring the doctrine of Christ, you consider him a devil. You consider him a hellion. You consider him of no value. He is no good. He is false. He is a curse. Don't believe him and don't encourage him. 2 John verses 9 and 10. That's what the Bible says. They don't bring you the doctrine of Christ, don't go with it. Don't fall for it. Don't let them influence your heart. That's where the spiritual will of God is obeyed. It's from the heart of faith, not from the hand of man. The heart of faith. That's where obedience to God begins and follows through. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you do, will you obey him? If you really believe in Christ, you will obey him. You will do it willingly, not by nobody twisting your arm or beating you upside the head or making you feel depressed and so forth. It is intended to encourage you to actions of faith according to the word of God. Those who were baptized when the church was established on Sunday, May the 28th, beginning at 9 o'clock with the preaching of the gospel by the apostles, those 3,000 souls that obeyed They gladly accepted the will of God. They willingly submitted themselves to the will of God. And they were baptized. And God added them to his spiritual family, the church, that day. Christ begat them. He fathered them by the seed, which is the word of God. Every child born into the world is born of the seed of his father. The word of God is the seed that produces the children of God. All we have to do is believe it and obey it. I want to ask a question tonight. I don't seem to have any takers with regard to asking me questions about the Bible or about the Church of Christ. Okay? It's the only church written in the Bible. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Who is God who purchased the church with his own blood? That God is the Almighty God. That's Christ, the God, not the man Christ, the God. He purchased his church with his spiritual blood. He is the owner of it. He is the builder of it. Matthew 16 and 18. Jesus said, upon the rock of the truth, I will build my church. In other words, Jesus said, I'm building my church on me. I'm the truth. I'm the rock of salvation. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 concludes the same thing. For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We are to build our spiritual faith on the foundation of the truth, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. We got to follow his will. We got to obey his will. We got to teach his will. We got to believe his word. That's how you build your spiritual faith and you gain the promise of eternal life through Christ. It's about faith in what God has already said. There's no new thing. There's no new revelation. Once the Apostle John in AD 93 received the revelation, the book of Revelation, in letter from the Lord, and published it throughout the Christian realm, to all the Christian churches, all of the churches of Christ. Once that happened, there has been no more revelation from God. This is it. You either believe the word of God or you don't. You either obey Christ or you don't. There is no halfway or in between. You either obey him or you don't. You either faithful or you're not. You either saved or you're not. You either wear Christ's name or you don't wear Christ's name. There are no Baptist Christ. There are no Catholic Christ. There are no Presbyterian or Methodist Christ. There's only Christ. And as being Christ's, we are Christians because our Father's name is Christ. My name is Williams, and all of my children were Williamses at birth. That was their name at birth. They didn't have to pick a name. They didn't have to join a name. They didn't have to go and buy a name. The moment they were born from me, born from their mothers unto me, they had my name. Their birth certificate had my name on it. They were all born Williamses. There were no Browns born unto me. There were no Kemps born unto me. There were no Washingtons born unto me. There were no Josephs born unto me. All of my children were born Williams. all of Christ's children are born Christ Christian. And the IAN is a allegory to say, without Christ, I am nothing. With Christ, I am saved. Praise the Lord. So, question tonight. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. Why not? The church you're a member of, and there are many people in religion today, there are billions who are worshiping God in some kind of false religion. Okay? But I got a question for you. Where did your religion come from? Who started it? When did it start? Do you know? Where did it start? The Church of Christ started on the day of Pentecost, May 28, AD 33, in the city of Jerusalem, at the temple, at the Jewish temple, in the congregational arena of the Jewish temple. That's where it started, because that's where all of the Jews came together for the atonement, the once-a-year atonement worship. They came together once a year to offer that sacrifice of sin. And it was at that time that God brought into existence the Lord's church, the Church of Christ. That's what the day of Pentecost was so important. Jews from all over the world were there. Italy, from France, from Africa, from Greece, from Asia. We're talking about East Asia. Not the Asia Minor mentioned in the scriptures. The Asia Minor mentioned in the scripture was Greece. Okay? The Mediterranean. But Asia, East Asia, that's east of Jordan, where the Babylonian kingdom and the Medo-Persian kingdom came from when they came in to conquer Palestine. And Rome is where the, and Greece is where the Western kingdoms came in to conquer Palestine. East, west, north, and south. Christians, rather Jews from all areas of the world. Over 17 named nationalities were present on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Why? Why did all those people come from all over around the world to Jerusalem that one time? They only did it once a year. What was that for? It was for the atonement sacrifice. It was for the once-a-year giving of a blood for sin. God chose that time to establish the new covenant with his people. And he started with the Jews. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. Quite naturally, there was only one nation that was considered Jew or Israel. All the other nations were considered Gentiles. They did not have the covenant of promise through the law of Moses. The promise was that God was going to bring his kingdom into the world and establish salvation for all men through his chosen generation, the Jews, the physical seed of Abraham. Now that we are in Christ, the spiritual Abraham is our father. We are the seed of the spiritual Abraham. Who is the spiritual Abraham? The Abraham that had faith. The Abraham that walked by faith. The Abraham that the Old Testament scriptures declared, that God declared was his friend, friend of God. That's the Abraham that we are the descendants of. We are the spiritual descendants of the spiritual Abraham. Abraham is spiritual. Abraham is saved. Abraham is waiting and ready for the eternal life to come. Are you ready? What church? Where did the church come from? Who started it? Why is it not written in the Bible? The written revelation of God's will. Why is it not named in the scriptures? Why isn't the founder's name in the scriptures? Why isn't the place where your religion started, where did it start? You know that the Holy Roman Church started in Rome. That's where the Catholic Church started. It did not start in Jerusalem. But when you read Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem till they received the power from on high. And they would be ambassadors, preachers. They were going to give testimony of the grace of God beginning in Jerusalem. The Church of Christ began in Jerusalem. Where did the Lutheran Church begin? Where did the Catholic Church begin? Where did the Baptist Church begin? Where did the Methodist Church begin? Well, what about Jehovah's Witness Church? Where did it begin? Where did the Pentecostal Church begin? Where did the Apostolic Church begin? Where did the Church of Christian Scientists begin? When did they begin? Who started them? There's even a church in America called the Luciferian Church. That's the Church of Satan, Lucifer. Now, everybody knows there's no salvation in Satan's church. Satan don't even have a Bible. So everybody knows this. But did you know that there's no salvation in the Baptist church either? The Baptist church don't have a Bible. Only God has a Bible. Only God produced the word, the Bible. Only God wrote the inspired scriptures of the Bible. Satan didn't write any, and no man wrote any. If he did, it's not the word of God, and there's no salvation in it. There's no salvation in Islam. There's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in Siddhartha, the god of the Indian, the Indian and Pakistani god. Okay? Hinduism. There's no salvation in Hinduism. Where did all this come from, men? Not from God. God's religion is not an ethnic religion. It's not for one race of man or one group of people. God's religion is for all nations. The Church of Christ is for all nations. The gospel of Christ is for all nations. We become one spiritual nation, one blood nation in Christ. Spiritual blood of Christ that is universal for the salvation of our soul, our spirit man. Not the fleshly body, not the fleshly blood, but the spiritual blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood that unites us as one spiritual race. One spiritual people. Where did your faith come from? Somebody say, my faith came from the Bible, the word of God. Well, tell me where anyone who received their faith from the Bible and the word of God, show me in the Bible where anyone was called a Baptist Christian or a Catholic Christian or a Methodist Christian. Or a Jehovah's Witness Christian. Read that in the Bible. Give me the book, chapter, and verse. In Acts 26, in Acts 11 and verse 26, the Bible says that the disciples of Christ were called Christians beginning in Antioch. That's Antioch of Palestine, Antioch of Samaria. Antioch of Syria, which is Samaria, which is where the northern kingdom of Israel was under King Jeroboam. That city of Antioch, where the Church of Christ was established. That's where the saints of God were called Christians first. Why were they called Christians? Because they were followers, disciples of Christ. A Christian is a disciple of Christ. A Baptist is a disciple of Baptist. They are a follower of Baptist. A Catholic is a disciple of Catholic. They are a follower of Catholic. There are no such followers of Christ. You need to know your religious church history before you claim salvation is yours, because the Bible doesn't say so. If it's not written in the Bible, it's hell-bound. It will be cast into the eternal lake of fire and brimstone, which is eternal condemnation and hell. Well, your founder's name is not in the Bible. The city or the place where your church began is not written in the Bible. It's written in the history of man, but not in the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. The history of man is the word of man. That's two different words. They're not the same. The head of your church name is not written in the Bible. And I wouldn't want to be a part of a body that every now and then the head dies and falls off, and somehow the body's arms pick up another head and put it on there. I wouldn't want to be a part of that body. That's a Frankenstein. That's a monster. That's not the Bible. The head of the Church of Christ is God himself. God is not dead. God will never die. God has never died. Man died, but God is not subject to physical death. God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Who is the head of your church? Is the head of his church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 27. Christ is the head of his church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and 24. Christ is the head. Who is the high priest of your faith, your church? If it's the Pope, you got the wrong high priest. Christ is the high priest of his church, of his spiritual family. First Peter chapter 5, verse 21. Christ is the high priest. Who is the pastor of your church? Christ is the pastor of his church. First Peter chapter 5, verse 1. He is the chief shepherd. He is the holy seed. He is the only true God. Not the Pope, not the preacher, not the pastor. Christ. He is above all. He is in you all. And he loves all who obey him. But Christ is not in everybody. The Spirit of God is not in every man, because every man has not obeyed the gospel. You want to obey the gospel tonight? We encourage you to do so. That's the love of God. That's the salvation of God. It's free. All you got to do is give up sin. You got to give up sin and serve God. Don't cost you any money. All you have to do is have faith. Spend your faith by obeying his will and commandments. Name the name of Christ. Wear the name of Christ. I'm a child of Christ. Therefore, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian only. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you who are on this call tonight, let me just say at this point, we thank you. Thank you for being part of this broadcast. We hope that you have received some encouragement, that you have received some exhortation, that you've received some knowledge, that the word of truth that you have heard will produce the faith that God desires, and that you might be willing to obey it. You've heard the truth. You got to believe it. You got to be willing and decide and make up your mind right now to repent of your sin. That is to stop doing everything you know that's wrong. Stop being a liar. Stop being a sexual immoral, a homosexual, and a fornicator and a whoremonger. Stop being a thief and a murderer. Stop being one who bears false witness, who has pleasure in evil. Stop being a con artist and a hypocrite, and start being a sincere and genuine, faithful, obey the gospel. Be baptized for the removal of your sins. Be added through your obedience to God to his spiritual church, where salvation is and where salvation is found. And proclaim and witness the truth to your neighbor for their soul salvation as well as your own. Who wants to do that tonight? Be baptized into Christ. Become a brand new creature, a brand new saved soul, having eternal life, working for Christ, and waiting for the redemption from this body into eternal salvation with God. We ask you to visit, to find, to locate the assembly, the group of saved souls who claim Jesus Christ as their husband, Lord, and master. The Church of Christ in your city, in your country, in your community, in the place where you are, the Church of Christ is worldwide. It's all over the world. It's in North America. It's in South America. It's in Europe. It's in Africa. It's in Australia. It's all over the world. Visit the assembly and worship. Give the preacher your hand and give God your heart of faith in obedience to the gospel. And you'll be saved, and you continue in the gospel. Continue in the doctrine. Study the word of God. Worship God faithfully. You'll be saved. That's what the Bible promises. That's what the word of God promises. That's what God promised to you is eternal life for faithful, obedient service. Praise God. We want to thank you tonight again. And at this time, we're going to have a word of prayer. As we dismiss ourselves from this broadcast, we're going to pray for the blessing and the grace of God that we might all come into the perfect relationship with Christ. Let us pray. God, we thank you for our life today. We're also thankful for the hearing of your word. We're thankful, dear God, because we know that only your word of truth is able to save our eternal soul. God, we know that we're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. Even those who deny will spend their eternity in heaven or hell. We know that you are real, dear God. We have the evidence of your love and your grace. Help us, dear God, to be obedient and faithful to your will, that we might receive the reward of eternal life. Help us to run the Christian race without falling away, without disobedience, without unfaithfulness. But help us to be faithful unto the end, knowing that the race, the Christian race, the crown is not given to the fastest. The crown is given to the ones who endure unto the end. Thank you, God, because we all got a chance. And amen. To our radio audience, we look forward to having you to be a part of this broadcast on next week, Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time in the United States of America. Whatever that time is for you in the country where you are, if you can make time to be a part of this broadcast, we'll be back on the air and on the internet at that time next week, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We encourage you to be with us, and we hope that you will join us. And as for tonight, may God bless us all according to his will, his grace, and mercy. Have a good evening.